thoroughbred stance. You gallop to the rhythms of a native drum chant. Your granny must be Navajo. Your mama do rodeo. Your papa do the Savaro. I bite you, ain't no antidotes. The red blouse do arouse. I come at you like a matador does. Attract horny bulls. All the girls are waiting to see which one he pulls. Eeny, meeny, miny, meeny, prenumptual. Enforcer in the Porsche case, the fool want a duel. You'll fool your f***ing jets who wanna be next. Ooh, I'll probably get life if I let one off. So I let him go like a pro. Sir, Andre with an accent. 3000, Benjamin. Lauren is the middle name that was given by my mama. Success was on her brain. Rain, Bentley funds, got the umbrellas. Benjamin got the sweaters. Hey, what more can we sell them? Son, spring will bring the parasol. Now watch him parasail to entertain us all.
Let's get a few things straight. I am the Night Show. This is the unideal idealist ideating independent from institutional constraints. Your host, Travis King. With me tonight, I have the 99th percentile of the 99th percentile. Everybody may be a star, but she is one of the brightest. A woman of the highest order in intelligence, kindness, and pure swag. The medical girl boss, and my UPenn valedictorian-in-arms, Abby Skidmore. Next, our second guest is royalty in every definition of the term. He is loved and respected by the very best and feared by only the lowest of molds. He knows everyone. He uses his multitudinous skills for the benefit of everyone. He is the Lafayette Regent, Zubair Ali. You are listening to WJRH 104.9 FM Lafayette College Radio, East End, Pennsylvania, the fundamental resource for any tastemaker with real taste. It's a good show tonight. Zubair and Abby, I described you in the best way that I can. How would you describe yourselves for the audience?
Oh, God. Definitely not any of the words that you used for me. That was so touching. A woman in STEM trying to make it to med school.
Woman in STEM.
That's the best thing I got.
Yeah, I definitely agree, Travis. That was such a flattering introduction, and I loved the subtleties of it. Probably, I would have to say that I would describe myself as the token Indian kid. You know, that's really my identity.
I think probably you are more than that.
Thank you so much. Thank you. yes. The gay token Indian.
No. I mean, you know, you know my thoughts. I said there my thoughts. Anyway, I want to get right in the music, first and foremost. I'll describe a little bit of the radio show, but first, this first song, it's a Taylor Swift show. That's why I brought you two here. It's because it's a Taylor Swift show. The first song that we have by Taylor Swift is How You Get the Girl off her album 1989. Abby, you picked this one. Do you have anything to say about this? Particularly like any like history or any feelings that you have with this? Zubair, you can jump in as well.
Yeah, this song came out in 2014, and I'm pretty sure that's when we were in seventh grade, and I just remember listening to it and be like, I wish a guy would do this for me. Like, as a middle schooler girl, like, I feel like that's like, this song was like so iconic, and I was like, oh my god, I want some like 13-year-old boy to, like, come to my door and give me flowers. And, like, obviously it never happened because men suck. But,
true.
Yeah, that was me in 2014 listening to this song.
Yeah, that actually leads good into the theme. But I'll get into that later. This is How You Get Your How You Get the Girl by Taylor Swift.
Humor like I do. I'm in streets with you in your worn out jeans. I can't help thinking this is how it ought to be. Laughing on a park bench, thinking to myself, hey, isn't this easy? And you've got a smile that can light up this whole town. I haven't seen it in a while since she brought you down. You say you're fine, I know you better than that. Hey, what you doing with a girl?
That was You Belong With Me, Taylor's version, by Taylor Swift. This is Zubair's song. I like it a lot. It's my favorite Taylor Swift song, or second favorite Taylor Swift song.
Yes, it's my favorite Taylor Swift song, too. Anybody who knows me knows that, like, this song is, like, kind of my brand. It has a lot of emotional impact to me, personally. So, in high school, I kind of went through a Bollywood renaissance phase where I listened to nothing but Bollywood. I was that kid. And really, senior year during, like, quarantine, I started really getting into English pop, and You Belong With Me was kind of the first song that I really listened to that got me back into it. And it always had a very important, like, impact on me as a kid because I would hear it on the radio so much. And I've always wanted that kind of story, you know? And I've been in so many situations where I'm like, you know, I feel like I'm Taylor in this video, you know? And it's mm-hmm. guided me through so mm-hmm. many romantic scenarios and everything. Like during the quarantine, for example. So I hope he never listens to this, but I have a neighbor named Michael. And I had a really big crush on him on senior year. And you could see his house from my window. So, like, during quarantine, like, I'd play this song and, like, just imagine him across the street. And, like, we were good friends. Yes, there were some questionable times with me and Michael. But, like, we were good friends. And I would, like, take walks around my neighborhood during the pandemic. Mm-hmm. Just so I could maybe see him playing basketball and, like, have a conversation and talk to him. And actually, over the summer, we got pretty close and, like, we watched WandaVision together and we hung out a bunch of times and we might hang out over Thanksgiving. But the point is, like, You Belong With Me has really influenced the way that I view romance, the way that I view mm-hmm. a relationship with a man, and kind of, like, that feeling of pining. You know, like, that's something that I really, really connect to. And it's just one of her oldest songs that I grew up with, and it's just amazing. You know, I love it. There's no other words to describe that. You know, there are very few songs that no matter what will cheer me up. This is one of them. Like, yeah. I just smile when I hear it because I'm like, this is the dream. This is the ideal.
That's true. Yeah, you know? you're definitely right. And that transitions well into the sort of thesis of this show because it can't just be Taylor Swift. Not with me. I'm not a Swiftie, right? I was thinking about why I wasn't a Swiftie, you know, and more specifically, what songs evoked the same emotion or took the place of Taylor Swift songs in my own life. So I was thinking, like, when would you regularly, like, listen to Taylor Swift? It was probably elementary and middle school, right? More middle school than elementary school, most likely. And then, you know, because you had this nostalgia, it bled into high school and college and your love for life, right? So this next song is got the same yearning from me. I started listening to this song. It was a specifically fifth grade song. It was Groove Shark. It was a sense of yearning for, you know, fifth grade crush, whatever. The problem was, like, I was incredibly awkward as an elementary schooler, middle schooler, arguably. Some may argue that I still sort of am. This awkwardness was a pervasive feeling and made me feel like I couldn't, you know, talk to them. And if I did, it would just be incredibly awkward and, like, weird for them, you know? So that mix of, like, thinking yourself awkward and but still yearning for a person is this next song. It is Awkward by San Cisco.
Why do you hold on so tight?
sparks like passing notes in secrecy.
That was Enchanted by Taylor Swift. This is also a Zubair song, and it's also my second favorite Taylor Swift song. Zubair, Do you have a story or an emotional attachment to the song?
Of course I do. I literally have, like, almost to every Taylor Swift song that I love, I do have a connection. So this one's a lot more recent. Shout out to Meredith Foreman for introducing me to this song. But in recent, it's become very emotional to me. The way that I interpret it, it's kind of like you meet someone and you feel like this deep infatuation. And it's fleeting. You know, like, if you look into the history of the song, it's, like, not, like, an actual romance. You know, she just, like, met this guy. And, like, it was, like, wow, like, he's so cute and, like, everything. And it was, like, a really nice moment. And then it's fleeting. You know, so I think it's all about love and first sight and, like, a fleeting moment. And I actually had a moment like that this summer. And that's why the song became so, like, meaningful to me. Because I felt what she felt in the song. And it's a beautiful feeling. And I'd like to feel it again. So I was at a zipline place in Long Island.
A zipline place in Long Island?
Yes. And it was not, like, a time that, like, you know, I would have said, like, oh, I'm looking for love. Like, I was with my mother, my cousins, and my sisters. And I was like, okay, like, I'm going to have fun with my family. And then this guy just, like, literally, like, hops from the trees and, like, in front of us. He's like, hi, I'm Thomas. I'm your guide. And to preface, he was our age. He's also a sophomore in college. Okay. And I literally saw him, and it was like birds were flying around my head. I was like, oh my God, I'm literally in love with you. And we just started talking, and I found out so much about him and, like, his life. And in that moment, I could hear Enchanted in my head, and I was like, this is, man, like, I'd love to, like, be with him.
Me and then, too.
And then the cute part was, like, at the end, you know, I had the very bold decision. He was, like, unclipping me with, like, all the harness gear or whatever. And I, like, kind of whisper into his ears. And I was, like, you know, I know this is, like, kind of, like, not, like, I guess legal. But, like, can I have your social media? Like, I'd love to keep in contact. So he whispered back. And he's, like, yeah, my Instagram's, like, blank, blank. And I was, like, okay. And I, like, went back to the car. And I was, like, blushing and strutting down like Taylor Swift in the song. And I made my family listen to it. And I was blushing. But what crushed was that I DM'd him, and he never DM'd me back.
Oh!
He never even opened it. And so it was a really crushing blow. But my point is, like, this song makes me, you know, I'm pretty cynical of love at the moment. Like, men have constantly disappointed me.
True.
As we will get to with my song.
Nice.
But
nice.
This song really channels, like, this feeling of, like, feeling loved and, like, male validation, which I know one should not base their affirmations and their mental health on, but it is a nice song because it channels what I'm looking for and reminds me that I have felt it and I can feel it again.
Yeah.
And so that's why, to me, it's a very profound. And, you know, the lyrics, like, please don't be in love with someone else.
Yeah.
Like, that is me throughout high school, that is me throughout college.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure Travis and Abby can testify that I've said that so many times around the guys that I have loved. And, you know, it's a very profound song to me.
I'm saying, yeah, not just for you. I just, you know. Anyway.
You relate.
we all relate. Anyway, Abby, do you have anything about the song? You texted me and saying you wanted this song over another one, but this was already on the...
No, that was Wildest Dream.
Sneak
peek to what's coming soon, but yes.
Anyway.
So, kind of shameful, but I just found this song literally because of TikTok, because people on TikTok have just been taking, like, the lyric that Zubair just said and just, like, having a video of them, like, in the shower with, like, the shower head on, like, in their clothes, just screaming those lyrics. And I was like, oh my God, like, if I didn't have a long-term boyfriend, like, not long-term.
Very long-term.
Boyfriend. I would be totally singing along to them. But, like, I feel like for me, like, as of right now, it doesn't hit as hard. Maybe if I had known about this song in middle school or, like, the beginning of high school, I feel like I definitely would resonate with it a lot more. But I can also appreciate that, like, it's a really good song, even if, like, I can't connect to, like, Taylor's emotions throughout it. But yeah, it's a great song. I'm really glad that I found it through TikTok.
It's a good song.
It is.
We'll get into some harder hitting songs later, but this next song, I just, everything that Zubair says, I also say about this song. Like, this is exactly what I want out of a relationship. It's not as like grandiose or, like, enchanting, but it's it's very intimate. It's very sweet, you know? It's very yes. easy and stable and calm. And this is We Are Going to Be Friends by the White Stripes.
Didn't care, and I guess I like that. And when I fell hard, you took a step.
that you never loved me or her or anyone or anything. I knew you were trouble when you walked in. So shame on me now. Flew me to places I've never been. Till you put me down. Oh, I knew you were trouble when you walked in. Knowing the right thing. So shame on me now. Flew me to places I've never been. Now I'm lying on the cold hard ground. Trouble, trouble, trouble.
That was I Knew You Were Trouble, Taylor's version by Taylor Swift. That was also and the last of Zubair's songs. Zubair, how do you like I Knew You Were Trouble by Taylor Swift?
I love I know this was highly anticipated, but this song also has a deep emotional value. To the other two talked about love and like You Belong With Me was like me growing up and like kind of finding my expectations for romance and you know, like, yearning. And then Enchanted kind of was, like, more about the feeling of being loved and, like, that, like, fleeting moment of love. I Knew Your Trouble takes a sharp left turn and kind of talks more to my side. You know, a feeling not just heartbroken, but, like, used and abused and kind of mistreated. And I went through a very tough time in recent memory with someone who kind of I should have known that they were trouble, if that makes sense. And I was just basically malaligned. And I have been really struggling with that since. And, you know, I've come a long way from it. But this song was kind of the first one I listened to after this situation unfolded. And something about it, like something about the beat itself and like the lyrics, like towards the end especially, It makes me feel kind of powerful and feel not alone in this situation that, like, you know, my judgment wasn't the best. And I let someone into my life that wasn't the best, and I made a miscalculation. And this song is emblematic of that fact.
Yeah.
You know, it was a moldy situation. I don't know what to say. You know, it was just...
Truly, really, truly.
It was awful. But, you know, this song is kind of like a representative of the fact that, yeah, this happened, but I got through it. You know, I am getting through it.
Yeah.
And I am happier. I have friends. I have genuine friends who care about me and, you know, who stand by me. And, you know, I've matured as a person. I think that I have, at least.
You definitely have. I've seen it. I was there.
He was, yes. These two were there with me, right at the epicenter of this. a long, long situation. But, yes, this song is kind of like the representative of that fact and how far I've come, but also it's kind of like, damn, like Zubair, what were you doing? Like, how could you not see that? But yeah, that's what this song means to me, and it's great.
Yeah, it is great.
Do you have anything to say, Abby?
Not anything like amazing as a story as that. I've never really like had an experience that like kind of connects to I Knew You Were Trouble, which I guess is. It's a good thing because I've never like looked back at something and be like, oh, I should have realized that one wasn't a good one. But I still think it's kind of like an anthem for like all girls like going through like any breakup, whether it's like good or bad. I feel like I could still like sing this at the top of my lungs, even if I've never had like a terrible boyfriend or something, just because like it's Taylor.
Yeah,
like,
you know it is mean? Taylor.
Like you can just vibe to like most of her songs, even if you don't like feel like the emotion of that particular one. So
yeah this next song is a song also I think around sixth or seventh grade that I just played whenever I like didn't like someone and wanted to get those feelings out. It's not particularly like a relationship because I didn't know how to even look at girls until probably like eighth grade, you know, only child things, right. But you know, this song was there whenever I just didn't like someone and would like to keep not liking them while listening to a song. So this is Bad Day by Darwin Diaz.
I hope that the last page of your 800-page novel is missing. I hope that it rains if you leave the window on your red Mustang. 'Cause every day ought to be a bad day for you. 'Cause every day ought to be a bad day for you. If you drop your keys, I hope there's a sewer somewhere very nearby. I hope that your team lost. I hope your new girl takes off with a new guy. 'Cause every day ought to be a bad day for you. 'Cause every day ought to be a bad day for you. Maybe you should wonder why your apartment is always so empty. Well, I hope you get locked out of that apartment and have to call Jenny. Oh! 'Cause every day ought to be a bad day for you. But every day ought to be a bad day for you. Every day ought to be a bad day for you. 'Cause every day ought to be a bad day for you. But I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That was Love Story, Taylor's version by Taylor Swift. This is Abby's second song. I love Love Story.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. What's up with Love Story, Abby?
I don't know. I just, like, I love the way that she took, like, the classic of, like, Romeo and Juliet and, like, wrote a song about it. But it's, like, it's not just Romeo and Juliet because, like, her song has a happy ending, which, like, obviously we all know Romeo and Juliet does not. But it's, like, in the end, like, they get married, everything's, like, happy and, like, amazing, and I don't know, Love Story is the one song that me and my boyfriend will, like, just, like, scream at the top of our lungs in the car because he knows every single word, and it's just, like, it's, like, not anything that I would ever expect him to know because, like, he is in no means a Swiftie at all. Like, never before would, like, listen to Taylor Swift, but, like, I don't know when it was, because we've been friends for a while, so it wasn't recently that I found this out, but we were in the car, and Love Story came on, and he starts singing, and I was like, oh my god, I need to marry this man, he knows the words to Love Story.
Yeah.
And, you know, the plan is going well, the marriage will be in the future, who knows when,
yeah.
But yeah, Love Story is, I wouldn't say, like, it's, like, our song, because it's in no way, like, the story that she portrays through the song is not us. Like, we weren't, like, allowed to be together. Like, it wasn't anything like that. But
well,
I mean, maybe a little bit, but, like, not in, like, a life or death situation.
Yeah,
but
yeah,
there was a little bit of a hiccup.
That's okay. It's all behind you, and you got the Taylor Swift happy ending. So.
That's so true. I did get the happy ending. So.
Yeah.
I got the boy, not okay. How you get the girl. How
you get, yeah, the boy.
Yes. I did get him, so
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
There we go. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Anyway, this next song for me is another fifth grade song that I listen to on Pandora Radio.
Oh my god. Wow.
Mm-hmm. I know.
Yes, I forgot about that.
Because Spotify, right. We didn't know about Spotify.
Exactly.
It costs money. Anyway. So this song, 5 Years Time by Noah and the Whale, was essentially like my view of a happy ending, you know, not like what I wanted out of a relationship, but like what I wanted like years and years into the future. And I still want this, you know. The funny thing about this song, though, is that within 1 year, and this will make sense with the lyrics, within 1 year of this song releasing, the two like singers that were also like married divorced.
Oh my god.
Which is kind of funny. But yeah, it's a great love story. It's a great love song. It's very cute, very whimsical. This is 5 Years Time by Noah and the Whale.
James Dean, and she'll say, yeah, well, I feel all pretty happy too, and I'm always Oh,
That was Wildest Dreams, Taylor's version. I like that song, but it is on 1989, which is a little bit embarrassing. Abby, this is a song that you picked. Why do you like this song?
I don't know. I just feel like it's like a very different vibe from her previous albums. I feel like this song kind of shows her like maturing a little bit with her lyrics and things like that. Because like in the past, it's kind of like whimsical, kind of like not childish. Like that's not a good like word to describe it. But I don't know, like the way that like if you were to listen to like specific lyrics in Wildest Dreams, like it's like kind of like more of like a mature romance or whatever it is that she's experiencing.
Yeah.
And I don't know. I'm a 1989 fan. Like I went to her concert. She played this song. I was obsessed with it when I was in, God, I think it was 7th grade, maybe 8th grade. I'm not quite sure when the concert was, but yeah, this was a song that stuck out to me from her album. So
yeah,
I wanted to showcase it.
Good song.
Yeah.
Zubair, you like the song?
I do like this song. I do remember, I have a very vivid memory of the song. I was in, I think I want to say 7th or 6th grade, and I still had those like long like wired headphones, mm-hmm. and I was cleaning my house, and I was like, oh, like a new Taylor Swift song, and the music video had elephants in it, and I was obsessed with it just because it had elephants, and like I was like going around my house cleaning, I'm like, Wildest Dreams, but now like the song is like also like really nice. So two of my best friends, Jessica McDivitt and Anna Paulson, we are like this like really close group. I cannot say our group name out loud. I don't want to offend anyone on this podcast. But we bonded over Taylor Swift a lot. And this was the first song I think we listened to. And I kind of like looked at it from a new lens once I listened to it again in college. But so fun fact, it's actually her heartbeat that's being sampled for the beat in the song, which I think is pretty cool.
It's pretty cool.
But the way I interpret it, it's like, you know, Taylor Swift is like kind of breaking away from that country lens. Like she's talking about topics that, you know, people would like be like, oh my God, no, don't let the kids listen to this. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like really kind of her breaking out her shell, entering this pop realm that we see. And honestly, like, I feel like everyone can like maybe relate to this song a little bit, you know, especially now at a college age, like when we're going out and having these like new kind of experiences with people. You know, the feeling of like you found someone, right? And you like do the deed with them, but like their expectations are different. You know, I think that there's such a pervasive sense of hookup culture, and you know, people like me get attached.
Yep.
And I know that Taylor Swift and I would get attached, and that's kind of what the song is. You know, I actually also went through a similar situation like this before this semester, actually. But you know, it's like I said, there's a Taylor Swift song for every situation, and this is a song that unfortunately people can relate to, but it's also kind of like a great song to relate to.
Yeah.
It's definitely something that kind of transports you, for lack of a better pun, into your wildest dreams.
Aww. With that, I sort of like, I related the song that I picked to match this, sort of more connected to the lyrics and less with the context of the song and when it came out. I see this as a person who puts a lot of significance on an event in their life that or they're not sure about how the other person feels about that significance, right? So this next song is a song looking back on a past event. It's specifically about two people, two ex-lovers meeting before and meeting by a friend of a friend, right? And they're like, oh, I think I met you before, right? That kind of thing, right? And like how they feel about each other now and like how the love has essentially died and like the weirdness of that feeling. This song is my favorite song from 5th grade.
Oh, God.
This is Your Ex-Lover is Dead by Stars.
Thank you. there's nothing to say.
That was our last song, Your Lover is Dead. I am the Night Show. This has been Travis King. These were my guests, Zubair and Abby. Did you enjoy being on the Night Show? I hope you did.
Yeah, it was awesome.
Wonderful.
I can't wait to be back at some point.
Wonderful. At some point.
Oh, it was an absolute honor to be on this. Like, I had the best time, and I really hope that I can come back.
Yeah.
I would genuinely love to do this again. But yeah, no, Travis, like, this, like, made my week.
Yeah. We'll get you back next semester for sure, both of you. In the meantime, you've been listening to WJRH 104.9 FM, Lafayette College Radio, Easton, Pennsylvania. It's same time, same place next week, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. We're in Standard Time. Mm-hmm. WJRH.org, The Night Show, Travis King, and a guest. Let's all harness our hopes into the next week, shall we?